church. Our God is a mighty warrior. So let's stand up and let's worship the Lord here today. I want to start with prayer. Lord God, thank you for bringing us here. And it actually feels like summer, and we give you thanks for that, Lord. Just thinking over the last year, so much has been up and down, and we thank you for you just being so awesome and amazing that you have been working through all things and that we're here today to just worship you. We welcome everybody here, and we welcome those who may be online or may see this later, that God, your presence will fill the area and fill our hearts and our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Don't worry, our drummer's not sick again, so that's good. He's getting a good break, well-deserved break this weekend. But that doesn't mean that we can't just still worship the Lord. So let's do it. It's interesting sometimes you don't know how, like sometimes God just lays everything out for a message and for a sermon series or whatever. And sometimes you have no clue. Last week I told you, I don't know where we're going. I had a couple ideas and God just told me to put those off. And Keith had picked this song and historically it hadn't been one of my favorites, but I really like it. A song, Fear is a Liar. And so God just told me, you know, let's do a whole series on fear. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a 4-week series on fear. And today our topic is going to be the fear of rejection. And so we're going to start there and then God's going to work this out. But one of the things that we forget is that fear, we talked about that there is a battle in the heavenlies. And fear is not only a feeling, but it is a spirit from the pit of hell. And fear, perfect love casts out all fear. And that only comes through Christ. And so fear is that beginning thing that we have. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to just embrace the fact that we have fears, but all fear will go in the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about. So let's just sing this song.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Oh, he will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. 'Cause fear, when he told you you were trouble and you'll never be alone, when he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home, when he told you you were dirty, should be ashamed, when he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Oh, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, 'cause fear is a lie. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear.
Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Oh, fear, he is a liar.
He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Oh, fear, he is a liar. He will
will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire.
Cause fear is a liar. Cause fear.
All right, so our series is called No Fear. Get it? Both ways. No and no fear. See, isn't that creative? I thought it was. Let's take a look at some of our prayer requests here today. We always want to go to the Lord and lift things up in prayer, particularly those prayer requests and things that we need. And so there's a lot of prayers that we do have. Carol Henson asked prayers for the parents and children of Rain Day, who was killed in a car accident. That is a horrific there. Holly asked for prayers for a friend's health. And Ron asked for my friend Robin and her health. Judy and Rebecca asked for praise and joy for Allison Ditmore. She graduates from Tome School today. There you go. And for all graduates, congrats. Yay. And you guys actually got to see each other a lot, so that worked. But that's great for that. Joanna and Ron asked for prayer for Rhonda, healing and health. For Lou, Nancy for unspoken prayers, praises for Haven, and prayers, continued prayers for me and my family. I appreciate everyone praying this week, and I ask that you continue to go ahead and lift me up in prayers and other things as well. Real quick, okay, so prayers for both you and your husband, all right, in the midst of that as well. We also want to continue to lift up those in Haiti as he's really doing some amazing stuff down there, and so we're thankful for that. We also want to lift up prayers for others, and if you miss one, I know Carol, continue to lift up Ricky in prayers, is right? Lift Ricky up. I know you sent that one out this week. And if you miss one, go ahead and put it you can put it online or also just fill it out, and we'll make sure that gets out to our prayer requests. As we go further, all right? So that's good. So let's lift these up in prayer and others as well, all right? Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Again, we thank you for your presence here, and we thank you for prayer, which is our connection to you. There are so many people that are dealing with many different things, and even as the summer months come along, those issues and problems don't often go away. And so I'm thankful for Allison and for all the others who are graduating. Just what a great time, and I know it's been an interesting year for many of those who graduated this weekend, who are graduating this weekend or have been there through last year. For those who are requesting prayers for health, with so many others who are having issues with other kinds of things like unspoken prayers, for praises and for continued prayers for your people and your leaders and others. And God, also for those who deal with the tragedy of someone who was killed in a car accident or who died very suddenly, we know, Lord, that those things just don't seem to always heal right away, or maybe if never. I also ask for prayers for my friend Hessel, as his mom passed on this week, and for the preparations that are there. But God, with all things, we just ask that you just go ahead and help make yourself more real to us. For those who weren't able to get a prayer request in, may they go to lift that up on Facebook or also on Haven's website so that we can get that out and join with them in prayer. And for all unspoken prayers, we just ask that you hear those and answer those. It's not only about us sharing them, but it's also about us joining together in all those prayers that people need. So God, take this time, and we dedicate this to you, and get me out of the way, and get yourself on the throne as we deal with this concept of fear. And we just pray that your spirit will guide us. In Christ's name, everybody says, amen. All right, again, we've talked about Sunday school and youth group. We've talked about that several times. Again, Stephen Ministry is available. Pregnancy Center bottle drive, I see some of them are coming in already. Remember, we gave those out on Mother's Day. We're collecting them on Father's Day. If you're like, I didn't get one, there's some, I think I see one over there. There's some that are around here. You can get those, fill those up, do whatever you would like to, and fill those, and we'll bring them back by Father's Day in order to give those to the Pregnancy Center for help with those things that they do. Paris Foundation, again, the 20th, 60 dinner bags for the Paris Foundation. So if you're interested in helping with that, please go ahead and do so. All right, very good. So we're going to get rolling today in this new series. It's always weird. I like when I'm in a series because I know where we're going and I kind of got a game plan. And it's like, let's start again. So we're going to figure out. Some of you may have gotten a bulletin. If you didn't have that, you can get this one. It is a QR code. Go ahead and your smartphone, go ahead and hold down your camera and it'll pop open and you can have that on your own and you'll be able to connect and follow along. And sometimes it's good to just go ahead because I don't know about you, but I forget what I just said 5 minutes ago. I don't remember much. I mean, seriously. I just forget things all the time, and it's hard with so much communication. It's extremely difficult to remember anything at times. So this is a good way for you to go back. I have one that has the answers here. I have the answer key here. But a lot of times I need those answer keys because I forget what I said last week because I'm in the middle of thinking about next week or the weeks ahead. But anyway, we are going to talk in this series called No Fear about fear. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you are afraid of something? Anybody ever been afraid of something? Anybody? Anybody not afraid of anything? Okay. I'm afraid. I don't like snakes. Anybody not afraid? All right. So here we go. What's very interesting here is that what we find out is some people are afraid to say that they're afraid of things as well. I mean, so we have all these other things. A couple of the top fears that we see, arachnophobia. How many are afraid of spiders? All right. How many ophniphobia? Snakes. All right. You know snakes. You don't know about this. What about acrophobia? Fear of heights. Okay. Like when I was a kid in Old Memorial Stadium. Anybody remember Memorial Stadium, where the Colts and the Orioles played? When you got up to the top of that, it was like this. Anybody remember? And I remember I was 14, I ran all the way up to the top, and I turned around, and I was like, And I remember I was coming down the stairs like that. I was afraid I was going to fall into, right field. I don't know. Then there's agoraphobia, fear of situations which are difficult to escape. Like, for instance, how many of you have to sit with your back against the wall in a restaurant facing a door? All right? That's one of those things. Cynophobia, fear of dogs. Okay, some people have big fears of dogs. Astrophobia, fears of lightning and thunder. All right, there we go. Trypanophobia, fear of needles or injections. This one is, bear with me, it starts with a P. Termerhanophobia, fear of flying. I'm more afraid of saying it. Mysophobia, fear of germs. A lot of people like that. And the biggest one that seems to be in most people is social phobias. That seems to be the biggest thing. And so what I thought I'd do is I also look at by states. Like what states, according to polls, in different states, like in different areas, there are people who are afraid of more things in those areas. So I thought I'd go ahead and take a look and see different states. Now in Alabama,
Anthropophobia tends to be the biggest one, fear of people. That seems weird. And actually, in the South, where people say they're more, oh, hi, how you doing, more friendly, that's the biggest one in the South, in the Bible Belt. They're afraid of people. In Delaware, trypanophobia, needles. I guess it's all the hospitals there. I don't know, but who knows. Hawaii. You know what the biggest one in Hawaii is? It is spiders, arachnophobia. I saw the Brady Bunch. I get that, right? Those of you remember? Okay, we get that, all right? If you haven't seen it, just ask your parents, okay? In Indiana, thanatophobia, the fear of death in Indiana. I guess there's nothing else to do in Indiana, so you got to be afraid of being dead. Kansas. No. Philophobia, the fear of falling in love in Kansas. I didn't make this up. And I guess those people don't go to Kentucky because in Kentucky it is gamophobia, the fear of commitment. I'll save this one for last. I get this one. I totally get this one. In New Jersey, venophobia, the fear of driving. Have you ever ridden in Jersey? All right. And New York's the same one, so it stands to be there. Vermont is arachnophobia. They have that one. And let's check out Maryland. You want to check out Maryland? Maryland, anthropophobia, fear of people. And we get it. We live here. We know who we live with. All right. So I just thought that was kind of interesting to see some of those things. And so welcome to week one of No Fear. And today we are going to let God's word speak to us about overcoming one of the big fears, the fear of rejection. And often the fear of rejection is one of those ones that opens up the door for all kinds of other fears that exist here. But, you know, I want to tell you, there's a church service one day, and everyone in this tiny town, it's a small church, woke up early and went to this local church. There wasn't much going on. Maybe it was Indiana. I don't know. But before the service starts, all the town people went ahead and sat in their pews and began to talk about their lives, their families. It was really like kind of close. It was like a way to just connect and go ahead. And as they're sitting there, all of a sudden a big poof starts at the altar. And all of a sudden Satan appears. And everyone started screaming and running for the entrances. They trampled each other, pushing people out of the way. And everyone evacuated the church except for one man. And he sat calmly in his pew, just kind of like, looking at seeing what's going along. Confused, Satan went over to him. And he's got, And he's like, So he walks up, he says, "Hey, don't you know who I am?" He goes, "Yep, I know who you are." He said, "And you're not afraid of me?" He said, "No." "Why aren't you afraid of me? I am the prince of darkness. I am Satan." He goes, "You aren't afraid of me?" He's like, "No." He said, "Why not?" He said, "I've been married to your sister for 25 years. All right, so there you go. Any correlation to that? Is it purely coincidence? Okay. All right, so we do have fears that exist in our world. So let's get rolling with, this is going to be our theme verse, but we're going to start with our verse today. It comes from one of the letters to Timothy, as you can see here. Here it is here. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of, but of power and love and a sound mind." I thought this was really cool because there's combining our last two series, right? A sound mind. We talked about minefield and how we get that, and power when we talked about the Holy Spirit and particularly the need for Pentecost, the need for 50 for that power. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, yet so many people in life are paralyzed by fear. And one of those that I think is one of the biggest paralyzing points of fear is the one we're going to talk about today, the fear of rejection. And this does not come from God, and we are not going to, and what we're going to do is we're going to let God's word empower us to really overcome this fear of rejection. To be honest, I have to say, most of my life, and even at times, I have lived in a way living to please other people. Does anybody ever relate to that? You kind of live a pattern to please others, and you want to please others above all. And what you realize is a lot of times that totally consumes your life. It consumes your life because you spend time finding out who people are, you get to know people, and then you go ahead and you make yourself be what they need in order to please them. Or you try to give them what they want. And that is laborious in life many, many times. And so so a lot of times I thought if I performed well or if I met someone's needs, then people would like me. One of those early areas that I came to know that you could get people to like you, it's a coping mechanism, but it's also fun, is humor. Humor is a great way to get out of bad situations. It's also a great way to get people to like you. And it's also a good way to not get your rear end kicked. You know what I mean? So these are all, humor is one of those fun things. But what happens is often we end up becoming approval addicts in our lives. And we get addicted to being approved of others. And before we know it, what we find out is we will eventually let someone down, or we can never keep someone's approval up for life, particularly when you deal with people all the time. When you're a pastor in a church, when you're a teacher, when you do other kinds of things, somebody will not be approved of you at one point. And so what ends up happening is that will haunt you and stay with you throughout life. And then you add that to, if you add rejection to some other things, then you start to feel unworthy and all kinds of other things. I can remember as a young pastor that I would preach, and one of the first things I would want to know is, you know, I might say to myself, hey, how did I go? How did I do? You know, how did I do? Or, did you like it? Was it good? I hope you had a good time. Did I do a good job? Those kind of things. And even though people would come out and they say, oh my gosh, you did a really good job. You give the preacher talk like, oh, it's not me, it's God. And you're like, yes. You know what I mean? You do the good preacher thing, but you're really saying yourself, yeah, I kicked it, you know. And then there's days where you would go ahead and you just like, this is the message that the heavens are going to open and the Lord is going to descend and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you go ahead and you give that and people are like, and there's some days you go in and you're like, this is garbage I'm giving them. And they're like, that was the best message you ever gave. And you're like, all right. And so you struggle with this at time and time again. And I have spent years of my life addicted by the approval people. If I just was good enough, if I just met that need, if I just did this, if I just did that. And the fear that ends there is that if I don't do those things, then I'm going to be rejected, or I'm not going to feel worthy enough. And that's a lie. So you are in a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you are afraid of, you end up knowing it's going to happen no matter what you do. And so the truth is that's where many of you are living there today as well. And scripture shows us the danger of living by the fear of rejection. Let's look at Proverbs 29:25. Give me a second. It says, for fear of man, that's not just men and women, fear of people, will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Fear of people, fear of rejection, fear of men, women, whatever, it's a trap. It is a great trap. And you say, well, how's it a trap? We're going to talk about that. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So let's look. What I want to do is I want to look at two rejection traps that we have. It is a snare. It's a trap. So let's look at a couple of those that we easily get entangled in and how we can get paralyzed by the fear of rejection. Okay, so the first one, here we go. We can easily become overly starved for acceptance. So we become overly starved for acceptance. The sad thing is when we are overly starved for acceptance, the very thing that we desire most is the thing that we end up losing, all right? We become so needy, we become so hungry for acceptance that we lose that very thing that we desire. In the Old Testament, I'll give you this. In the Old Testament, there was this guy who could have been, had the potential to be one of the greatest kings of Israel and of God's people ever. Matter of fact, he was really the first one, and his name was King Saul. He had a great, great potential. Matter of fact, God took him, and he was taller than anybody in Israel, taller than anybody. And when he was called, they found him hiding in the luggage because he did not want to do that. And so he started out with this great heart that God pulled out, but he ended up really bad. And one of the main reasons is because his greatest weakness was he was paralyzed with the fear of being rejected. He didn't, even though he looked the part, even though he talked the part, he never really had. He was always insecure, and he was always afraid of being rejected by people. And he always wondered, what are people going to think? Are they going to like me? And one time, because of the fear of what people thought, he rejected God's commands, and the prophet Samuel confronted him, and this is what King Saul said. So it's in 1 Samuel 15. He repented and confessed, and he said this. He said, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command. And then there's some other stuff in there, and here's what he says. I was afraid of who? The people, and I gave in to them. God told him to do one thing. He was afraid of the people doing another. And so he said, wow, I messed up, and I gave in to them. And sadly, that was Saul's problem all throughout his life, and it turned out very badly because of it. He even got to the point that he was going to mediums rather than God's people to do all kinds of things. He was just so off. And so the question is, how often do you think that? Do you do that? Or you think that? How often are you afraid of what people think? And so rather than do what God calls you to do, you do what others want you to do and you compromise. I can think several things. I always joke with Jill when I was little, there was a neighborhood girl who was like 2 years older than me. And in order to do anything, I'd always ask Jill, will I be bigger than Colleen? And Jill would go, yep. And I'd climb up something, I'd fall or whatever else and do that. And she's laughing because she was there. But what I'm saying is, you know, those things, that doesn't stop. We often have people that we say, well, if I do this, will you approve of me? If I do this, will you like me? If I do this, will I be bigger than so-and-so? If I do this, will I have that? And we look for that approval of people more so than we like of others. And so we end up living in an attitude for approval for the rest of our lives. The sad thing is that so many people live with this fear of others. In life, fear of rejection. We're told the fear of a man or humanity will prove to be a snare or trap. And so many great people today want to please God with their lives, but live so much into that life of screaming out, please accept me. Okay? Please accept me. In a world that we thought that after this crazy year where we were separated, one of the things that I've had several of these discussions this week, that one of the things is I kind of thought people would be better. And they're not. Do you agree with me? It's like we got a loan and decided we were going to be more narcissistic and more uncaring and more angry and more frustrated. And it seems like all those things when we should say, my gosh, we can group together again. We can have that. That a lot of us have just gotten, you know what I mean? And so now there seems, along with that, people who want to be accepted seem to be having to do more effort to be accepted, which is causing more issues and more separation, and we have more anxiety. And people spend hours on their body, their hair, their image, their face, and they're poofing it up and popping it out and sticking it in and whatever else, you know, all because people saying, please like me, right? Or if I buy this car, if I buy that suit, will you like me? Or if I go to this restaurant and take you to this place, will you like me? Or if I join this club, will you like me? If I compromise my integrity and I don't hold to what I believe most, will you then like me and will you accept me? Will you approve of me if I do something else? It's this conditional thing. I've known so many people that also say, you know, I have to make mom and dad happy. You know how many people I've known whose parents have died 15, 20 years previous and they are still living to try to prove and provide for their parents who've been gone for years? I know so many young men and women who want so desperately to have some intimate connection, to be loved and to be married, and yet they'll settle and marry some non-Christian self-centered guy or girl just because they want to be loved and want to be accepted. They make shortcut decisions that affect them for the rest of their lives, basically saying, will you approve of me? I need somebody to please accept me. Fear of man proves to be a snare, a trap. And I also know people who so often want to be accepted that they will attach themselves to the human vacuum cleaners. You know what I mean? Those people who suck the life out of you. Will you like me? Yes. Thank you, right? Anybody know those? Do you know someone like that? It'll be a snare. So when we become overly starved, There's two thoughts that approval addicts do, and these are a challenge for you. Approval addicts generally have the inability to confront. You want to please so much you don't want to confront. All right? So we just accept things. We take them as they are. And I want to be liked so I'm not causing any waves. And until we learn, I got to tell you, Scripture talks about biblical confrontation. I mean, Jesus was someone who had no problem confronting something that was not in accordance with God. Whether it was the Pharisees, whether he went into the temple and they were making his father's house a den of thieves, when it was somebody saying something, Jesus had no problem doing that. And so, and also in that, just to let you know, Jesus was rejected by a lot of people. And so we need to learn the gift of biblical confrontation combined with biblical integrity, so we can, or if we don't, we can never have an intimate relationships that God wants us to have. The other thing is approval addicts generally give in to others, but inwardly they are angry and resentful. Because basically what we say is, by I want you to accept me, we are becoming something, and you become something for someone in the hopes that what you give will be returned. Right? And I'm here to tell you, if you become something you're not, you will never get it returned and you will never feel worthwhile, because you won't know who you are after you're becoming everything everybody else wants. And so you might say, okay, I'll do whatever you want because I want you to like me, but inwardly I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm lost, and it gets worse minute by minute. And these are those who are dealing with these things. Some may say, the second one, they may become overly cautious. Okay, so you may become overly starved, but you also may become overly cautious. You may say, I've been hurt before. I'm not going to let anyone hurt me again. I'm not going to trust anybody. I'll keep you at an arm's distance because I'm not going to let you do what somebody else did to me. And this is what the Bible says about that person. Let's look at this from Proverbs 28. Here's what it's verse 14. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Anybody ever tried to harden your heart because you were hurt? Anybody? I did that one time when I was with the United Methodist Church, and I saw God really moving in the church that I was at, and they did the musical chairs thing called, the itinerant system and moved you on. I went there, and I loved the people, but I was hurting at a time, and so I decided I wasn't going to love anybody. And what I found out is what that caused me to do, because I am somebody who reaches out and loves people, I began to fall into trouble in my own life, and I began to be disconnected. Sometimes people, you know, if you've been hurt by men for years, you can say, I can't trust men as far as you can throw them. They're a bunch of jerks and losers. Or if you've been hurt by women, you can say they're a bunch of black widows, get close to you and sting you in the behind and mess you up, right? And you may have that approach, and you may go that way. Now, I'm going to tell you, if 97% of what you said there is true, 3% may be there trying to get close to God and trying to love as Christ called them to. So being overly cautious often keeps us from the blessings that God has for us. For some, it starts with a sneaking suspicion in your life that is a lie from the pit that your parents like other siblings over you, right? And you say, all right, fine. You like me, you like them better? Fine, okay? And that starts that process. And you say, I don't want to get hurt. Or maybe it was at recess when you were the last person picked and you just got thrown in because you were at the bottom of the rung and you said, well, nobody wants me. I'm not good there. Or maybe you didn't fit into a certain group or crowd. Or when somebody tells you they're going to be there forever and they crush your heart, so you become overly cautious. Or one of the things that I think is so sad to God is when great Christ followers, like those of you who really love Jesus, you've got people in your life who you know who just aren't in a relationship with him. They may be family members. They may be your parents. They may be your children, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, people you work with, people that you've grown up with, and they just don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you're afraid to tell them about Jesus. Why? Because you're afraid that they will reject you in the midst of that. The very thing happened in Scripture by a group of people who believed in Jesus, but they were afraid to confess their faith openly. Why? because they were afraid of rejection. In John chapter 12, verse 42, here we go. It says, but because of the Pharisees, and they were the rulers that were against Jesus at the time, they would not confess their faith for what? For fear they would be put out of the synagogue. Stop. Now let me tell you. The synagogue, yes, was the religious center, but for a Jewish community, it was the center of, it was a community center, and it still is many times today in the Jewish community. It was the community center. It was a way you made connections in business. It was a way you made connections in order to set up marriages. It was the center point of everything. If you were kicked out of the synagogue, you were basically kicked out of life. And so they were professing a faith openly in Jesus, but by fear that they would be kicked out, that the Pharisees wouldn't allow them in, they didn't share their faith. And it says, for they loved praise from men more than they loved the praise from God. So what we learned is fear of man, fear of others, is a snare. It's a trap. And we become either overly cautious or overly starved. So how do we overcome this trap, right? That's what we want to know. The Bible teaches us two principles, and they're really simple principles, although they're very hard principles. Two principles to live empowered by the Spirit of God in our lives. You ready for these? Here we go. The first one is this. Say yes. Everybody say yes. To pleasing God. Say yes to pleasing God. More than anything else, our heart needs to beat with a desire to say yes to pleasing God. Okay? Yes to pleasing God. In 1 Kings 22, we see a great story of Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, and he's having a conversation with the king of Israel. What had happened was Israel and Judah had a problem. They split, and they had this problem. Jehoshaphat was a good king. If you want to read a lot in the book of Kings, you can read this one was good, this one was bad, this one was good, this one was bad, this one was good. They got worse. This time Jehoshaphat is one who actually loves God. And I don't know anybody who names their kid Jehoshaphat anymore, but hey, it's a name if you want it, have it. All right? So here's what he says. He's talking with the king of Israel. The king of Israel says, Jehoshaphat, will you go into battle with me and we will partner up and take back what is ours? So they've been separated and they say, hey, let's get together, let's go fight these guys, and let's take back what is ours. So he goes to him, let's form an alliance. Sounds good. Jehoshaphat goes ahead and responds this way, which I think is very amazing. It says, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. Now, it sounds good on paper. Yeah, let's get back together. Let's go ahead. Let's have a reunion. Let's go be united, Israel, Judah. Let's go kick some butt, get back what's ours, what God promised. But I got to love Jehoshaphat's style of leadership, because it says the first thing he says is, let's go ahead and do this. Notice that what he did, he didn't first say, well, let's go talk to our advisors. Notice he said, let's go take a poll of the people to see if they're cool with us reuniting and see what opinions they have about this. No, he says, let's first seek to please God. We'll seek the counsel of God, and when we seek the counsel of God, if God says yes, let's roll with it. If God says no, sorry, I'm not going to get involved. So my question to you is, and this is a hard question for me, when you are faced with a decision, what do you do? Do we ask people? Probably. Do we ask our parents? Some might. Do we ask our friends? Do we ask our family members? Do we ask our coworkers what they think? Yeah. When the first thing that we should do is we need to ask God, what will God think? How can we seek to please God? And a lot of people say, yeah, but Jack, how do you hear the voice of God? That's a whole other sermon series. I think I did that. But, I mean, the main way you hear God is in his word. Okay? God is not going to change. And so those things that he talks about are going to be consistent. The other things are just in prayer and meditation. We get so caught up in prayer being something that we just talk all the time. You ever had a conversation with somebody who just talks all the time? How good is that? And you ever had anybody ask you for your opinion, and they're talking so much, and you every time you go to give them your opinion, they go, but wait, and you go, well, let me see. And then you're like, why do you want to hear? Because you already got your mind made up. A lot of times that's how we approach our prayer life with God. We pray but don't meditate. We pray but don't listen. God gave us one mouth, two ears. Two ears to listen, one mouth to speak. And so a lot of times we are told to wait on the Lord, and I hate that. But a lot of times I got to wait on the Lord because I've been yapping so much. And so we have to wait on the Lord for that response. And so we need to seek to please God in all that we do. There's a great story about one of the greatest evangelists ever. His name was G. Campbell Morgan. Anybody heard of G. Campbell Morgan? All right. And this is a true story. In 1888, anybody remember that? No, just joking. He stood before three men who had the power to determine if he was called by God to preach or if they believed that he was not called by God to preach. This is an ordination board, all right? So he stood with other young, hopeful preachers, and they all preached. They had to give a sermon for this board of people giving thumbs up and thumbs down. And at the end of the day, they would post a list, accepted or rejected. That's actually what the lists were. G. Campbell Morgan went and he looked for his name on that accepted list. You guys remember the days before they put your grades out in the open with your name and you're like, before all this kind of, everything got quiet with FERPA and all those other kinds of things. But they had this list on there. And so he nervously went over. I remember that in high school baseball, you try out and you go and look and those kind of things and you hope to see your name on the list. So G. Campbell Morgan went and looked for his name on the accepted list and it was not there. Many of us know that feeling, the time that you poured out your heart and your life in a certain direction, and then some person says or does something in a way that says, I reject you. You don't have what it takes. Some may have said, I wish I never knew you. Some said, I wish that you weren't in my life, and you're not welcome here. These are some of the things that cause that rejection. Well, you can imagine he was crushed, absolutely crushed. So he took a look on the second list, and there was his name, rejected. He didn't see anybody else's name. He saw rejected and his name. So he was devastated, and of course, they didn't have cell phones in the day. So he sent a telegram to his father, and he simply had one word on the telegram in capitals, rejected. He had the weight of this rejection as he felt he was answering the call to God. And a few days later, talk about waiting on the Lord, his very wise dad sent him a telegram back, and the telegram came to G. Campbell Morgan, and it was a message that he said from his father that changed his life forever. The telegram said this, rejected by men, accepted by God. Changed his life forever. And he became what those who rejected him said. God said, I don't care about that. I've accepted you. And he became one of the greatest evangelists of our time. And so that's where I want to be, don't you? I want to be in a place to begin to embrace knowing that, and I will be rejected by people, that you will too, that no matter what you do, no matter how much you serve somebody, no matter how much you love somebody, no matter what happens in your life, here's the good news today. You will be rejected and despised. And take joy in that because Jesus was too. And he promised you that in this world you will have trouble. You know what he meant by that? He meant people will reject you. Why? They will reject you because he said they rejected me first. So if you're not getting a good dose of rejection, maybe you need to see how committed we are to Christ. Because if we are fitting in too well in the world around us, there's no need to reject us because we're just helping the world and the prince's world go where we need to. And so what we have here is the rejection comes because Jesus says they rejected me first. If you are following Jesus, you will be rejected. In Isaiah 53, it was prophesied of Jesus that he would be despised and rejected. So my question is, why do you and I think that we could follow Christ and please people all the time? We can't. We can't at all. So our first desire has to be to sell out wholly and please God. That's got to be number one. Matthew 6:33, this is why Jesus said this. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then it says, and everything else will be added to you as well. Because if you seek, I always thought, like, when I was younger, and I used to always think, wow, if I seek God, then he's going to give me the car, the house, the $1 million, the other stuff, right? But no, it's if I'm truly seeking God's kingdom, then the calling he has on my life, then I'm going to have everything else I need to accomplish that calling until the day I die. And that's the joy. I don't need anything else, because then I get to the point of recognizing that my God supplies all my needs. And that's the first thing. Then the second one is this. First one is saying yes to pleasing God. The second one is this. Say no to pleasing people. It's not going to work anyway. So now, don't take this out of context. Everybody listen right here real quick. Don't say, Pastor Jack said that we are supposed to be rude. No, I did not say that. We are always supposed to show love and grace in every relationship that we have. But we are not driven by becoming people pleasers. We got to stop that. I love the way this question was asked in Isaiah 51. And Isaiah asked this question. Here's what he says here. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of man, who are but grass? And that's a great thing in the scripture. It just means like grass is here and then gone. Because all the rain, I haven't had a chance to cut my grass, so it's growing up. But guess what? When I get on that mower, what happens to it? Zoom, gone. All right? All men are grass who are but grass. Let me say it again. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of man who are all but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker? That you forget the Lord your maker. Who are people that you're afraid of them? And you know what's crazy? It's how often I get caught up in approval addiction and been so driven by what people think. So much so that I've forgotten that God approves of me. And that God has called me and that God says, Jack, you're okay. And even when you're not okay, that's okay because I got you. And so so many times we get caught up in those things. I mean, when I read that story of the evangelist, I was even thinking about a time when I went in front of the Board of Ordained Ministry in the United Methodist Church, and they would take you down to Drayton Manor, which was like this old house and area, and it was nice out there. Wasn't it off the Chester River? Is that where it was? You know, is that what it was? And it's a nice area, but it was kind of impressive because it's this old house with all these secret passageways, like on Scooby-Doo, I'm not lying. Like bookcase, and then you go somewhere else. And I always thought that if they rejected me, they were going to put me behind a bookcase, and I was going to be gone. But I remember going in, sitting in this room. It was like a library room. It had books all over the place, and I'm sitting at a table, and there's like these old chairs that never were comfortable, but you're sitting in them, and you're like, I'm going to be comfortable. And you're waiting on all these groups of pastors and laity that are going to see if you're thumbs up or thumbs down. I remember I went in there, and I remember I walked in, and as I walked in, I sat down in that library room, and I was nervous, and I was frustrated, and I was like, what's going to happen here? There was some church politics, surprise, surprise, that had gone on that I kind of got associated with when I was trying to do something well, but often it doesn't come well when people see it from a different area. But it wasn't just me. I was led by some others some of them have gone on to be with the Lord, to love them to death. But I was in the midst of this. And I was nervous about this, and here I go. And I was sitting there, and I reached over, and I just grabbed the Bible off the shelf, and I opened up, and the verse that came to, you know, Bible roulette, and I came to it, and it says, for you have not been called by God, but called by, not called by man, but called by God. And I was like, let's go. And guess what? I had somebody who talked about who was aggravated because in my manuscript of preaching, there was typos. Of course, I share with them that was the night that my wife was actively having a miscarriage, which they had absolutely no compassion, and I almost found out what it was like to turn into Samson and go beat the stuffing out of somebody. And then I had another pastor friend of mine who was there, and he's like, so Jack, tell us how you do communion, and just kind of segued in the midst there. I had people question me about the thing I got caught into, and I had to answer that, and the whole time I just kept leaning on the fact, you have not been called by anybody here but by me. And over the years, I kind of lost some of that. And I do when you get attacked and when you have things that are said and that are done, all because you're serving God. But the disciples said, yeah, that's all right. Say what you want about us because I'm going to serve God. And that fear of rejection is huge. Here's the way it is. Every single day, and I'm going to say absolutely every single day, I don't care where you are in your faith journey, but every single day you have an opportunity to cave in, to live for the approval of people, or you have the opportunity to surrender your heart at that moment to God and say, I am going to live for you and you alone. What will it be? Remember, fear of man is a trap, it's a snare. And those who trust in the Lord, though, will be safe. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he says this, and he asks himself, and I want you to ask yourself, and sincerely ask yourself this right here. Am I trying to win the approval of men or God? I mean, seriously, ask yourself that question. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's one of those verses that I'm like, I don't like. Because we all like to be liked, don't we? We all like to be appreciated. And those of us, some of us, you know, those of you who say, I don't care what people think, I envy you at some point. Because you just cut it off and don't care. Some of you are like, this sermon's boring because I don't care what people think, right? But when we're trying to please, but then I will tell you, those of you, you also need a good dose of the Lord's compassion. I just want to share that. That's a whole other sermon. We'll get to that later, all right? But that's the thing here. We are in a point that we can't please God and others together. You may do it for a while, but there's going to come some point where you're going to hit that crossroads and God's going to say, are you going to follow me or are you going to go ahead and serve them? Put up or shut up. So, are you living for the approval of people? Saying yes to pleasing God and saying no to be a people pleaser will lead to our goal. And here's our goal. If you're taking notes, here's your goal. Your goal is this. Before God, to live for an audience of one. Live for an audience of one. I was thinking about this. I mean, I've shared before, Jill and I were thrown on a stage very early. It was where pulpits were and all kinds of other things, but we were where Dad and Mom went all over the Eastern Seaboard, we were the little singing crew, like that, in the matching costumes. I'm not lying about that. We got pictures. It's hideous. But we were the ones that would go there, and it was like, oh, wow. And that we would sing, and Dad would preach, and Mom would sing, and Dad would preach. I mean, this is what we did. We were just brought along. And I know, Michelle, you understand that. It's part of the deal back then. And I don't begrudge that at all. I'm not one bit. And so for my life, I have felt comfortable in front of audiences. When I was in third grade, I was in shows in elementary school. I remember I did the lip sync to the Purple People Eater song. Yep.
I saw that thing coming out of the sky. I want me one, right?
Okay.
One big guy.
Okay, anyway, sorry. I had that. I was Linus and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, with my blanket and me. Yeah, I still got my blanket, too, all right? So I have that. I actually have the recording. Maybe we'll put that on the web. You can listen to it. So I had that. When I got to, and some of you, I'm going to test where you were in if you grew up around this area. When I got to middle school, I was in Mr. Harris's show. Anybody remember Mr. Harris? There you go. I see some people looking, and it was a cool show. And you know, I wanted to do extra. I remember you had to try out, and he would never let guys be the judges because he said they look at the girl and be like, "Yeah, you're in. Oh, you're out." Yeah. I mean, he knew that. And so they had girls that were there, and I remember it was this isn't on my notes, so just go with it. I was in eighth grade, and I had made the other years, and he would only let you have so many parts. But I remember it was in eighth grade, and they had these things that you had on a chalkboard. Anybody remember chalkboards? They had a thing on a chalkboard, and you had to go ahead and read that and do it dramatically. And they had one which was like, you know, he had different kinds of things. And one of those was like a love, kind of love thing. And it was like, you do not know what love is. It is like blah, blah, blah. And you had this whole kind of thing. So my mind's going. And I stood up there, and I did the first two. And you weren't supposed to make any comments at all. Like, you could not. If somebody was absolutely awful, you could not go, you stink. No, you had to sit there and go like this. If you laughed or if you did anything, he would say, out. Right? He ran a tight ship. And I remember I came up there. So I had this one here. You do not know what love is. And Jack, wanting to really change the room, went up there. And when everybody else was like, you do not know what love is. I went up there and said, you do not know what love is. Honey, you just don't know. And I did all this. And at the end of it, I said, you know, it's like two ticks on a dog's tail. To that, everybody busted up laughing. And was like, yeah, cheering. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he kicked nobody out. Even he lost it. And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. That's me. And one of those things, it's me because I feel at home there. But the other thing is, I love the approval of people. Always have. And one of the things I love about it is because I know that it stops people in that moment from dealing with what they're dealing with. And they can just be free from that at the moment. And that feeds me. But that's also, it also drains me when that's gone. Right, when something happens there. So when we're looking at this whole kind of thing, it's we need to live, ultimately at the end, it's not for the audience of people that we live in. If I have 20,000 people at my funeral going, yay, great guy, it matters nothing. The only thing that matters is the applause when I walk into heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant, by one. And his name is Jesus. That's, you know, see, this is why Jesus said this. He said this, by myself, in John chapter 5, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself. But who does he seek to please? The one who sent me. Jesus' whole life was to please the will of his Father. And if we are going to be Christians, Christ-like, we need to please the one who sent us into this world. Because fear of people is a trap, it's a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord will be found secure and safe. How many of you remember when you were young in school and when you were called up by your teacher to go ahead and leave the class, to go on an errand, maybe to take something to the office or to the guidance office, and they gave you the hall pass? You know what I mean? The hall pass. It was a written one or they had a special one. And you remember how awesome that was? Like, everybody else was in class, and you got the hall pass. It was second only to the glory of being the hall monitor or being the one who smacked out the erasers, right? If you guys have no clue what I'm talking about, it goes with the chalkboard, okay? That's a whole other story. But I would love the day when the teacher say, Jack, could you come here? Could you take this to the office? And they would give you the hall pass. And I'd walk out of class. You know, like you walked out with like, I got me a hall pass. And you just stroll through the halls. You'd look in the windows where your buddies were. And you're like, hall pass. You're in there. I got the hall pass. You're just strolling. You made the journey quicker, right? Longer. Like you went all around wherever you went. You're like, I think I'll stop off here. Got a whole bunch. And you just love that, and then you would just wait for some teacher to come up to you. Excuse me, Mr. Cohen, aren't you supposed to be in class? Whole pass. And be like, oh, I'm sorry, you got a whole pass. Yeah, I got a whole pass. Later. And this is like how it was, right? Am I lying? It didn't matter who stopped you. It could be the principal itself. You'd be like, whole pass, you know, and it didn't matter. At all, you had the hall pass and you were set. And what I thought about is this. I got God's hall pass. And his hall pass tells me that I am who I am. He's called me to do what he called me to do. And because of his hall pass, I am not subject to your opinions, your judgments, or what you say and think about me. Say what you want. I got God's hall pass. And I know what he thinks about it. No matter what you think about me, God says I am acceptable through Jesus Christ. No matter what you think about me, he says he loves me just as I am, and I am perfect in his sight. If and when I believe what he says about me, you know what it does? It frees me from dancing and entertaining and living for you, and it makes me just accept and love the living for the audience of one. It doesn't matter if you think I'm good enough. God says even in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. God says that I am blessed coming in and going out. God says that he is working everything for the good of those who love him in according to his purpose. God says that I am an overcomer by the blood of Jesus, that his son who shed for me, and by the words of my testimony. God says, according to my hall pass, that he has plans to bless me and to prosper me, plans to give me great hope and a future. Whenever people doubt you, pull out God's hall pass. Say what you want. I got a hall pass. God says you are special. God says you are unique. God says you are called. God says you are equipped. God says, you are just the way I want you and the place I want you right now. People's opinions really do not matter. When God says you are free to go, go. When God gives you an assignment, go do his assignment. Do not or stop living for the approval of people because you have God's hall pass. As we wrap this up today, we have learned that fear of people is a snare and a trap. But he who trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. I love the words of Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie, who's a pastor and a chaplain, former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, went on to be with the Lord, I believe, in 2019. These words, hopefully, that he wrote will become part of your life. And he says this, secure in God's love, I will not surrender my self-worth to the opinions and judgments of others. Did you hear that I said he was the chaplain of the Senate? You think they got some opinions? When I am rejected, I will not retaliate. When I am hurt, I will allow God's love to heal me. And knowing the pain of rejection, I will seek to love those who suffer from its anguish. Let's look at that first line again. Secure in God's love, I will not surrender my self-worth to the opinions and judgments of others. Say yes to pleasing God. No to being a people pleaser. And your goal of life is to live for an audience of one. And in that way, fear of rejection falls by the wayside because you are accepted and loved by the audience of one. And his name is Jesus. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and pray right now. Lord God, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would be completely at work in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you come into our hearts and our lives and as we started today singing, fear we know is a liar. And right now I just want wherever we are in this room or in the sound of my voice to take some time, take a minute as we pray and be honest. Ask yourself a couple of questions. Are you or have you been living as an approval addict? Are you living your life in such a way as seeking the approval of people? Or are you attempting to live your life for the approval of the audience of one? If you're in the sound of my voice and you've really honestly asked yourself those questions, then, and you might be like me, haunted with the addiction for approval, I believe that God's presence wants to set you free. He wants to start a freeing work in your life, and we know that fear of others is a snare and a trap, but we can be safe and connecting to the Lord. So today, we are putting our hope, our trust, and finding our security in God and in you alone. If you say, Jack, I'm like you, the fear of rejection has been a big problem. And I find myself on stage and dancing for the approval of other people rather than living in accordance with God's plan. Just go ahead and say, God, I want you to forgive me for living for others and forgetting about you. And I want you to help me overcome this. I want to live for this incredible audience of one. I want to bask in the rest of my life in the presence of your hall pass. And God, I know that people are going to say things and they're going to do things and things are going to happen. Help me not lose sight that I'm not who others say I am, that I'm not even caught up in rejection, because God, I don't have to be afraid, because in your love, there's perfection. And if I live for you, then there's no fear because you love me. So in the sound of my voice today, for those who are here and the spirit of fear has just been over them, the fear of rejection, maybe from a young age where they just felt that parents or siblings or grandparents or friends or what have you did not accept them, did not love them. I ask that fall by the wayside and that they hear this. You're good enough. You're good enough. You're good enough for God to send his son to love you so much that he gave his life for you. And he wants to have a loving relationship with you. And to give you a hall pass so that you can set about exactly what he's called you to do. In spite of what others think. And that you'll recognize that, hey, if people don't like you and are rejecting you because of your love for Christ, well, that's good because they rejected him too. And if some of you are just at the point for the first time in your life saying, you know what? I felt rejected my whole life and you're telling me there's a God who loves me? I don't believe it. Well, take that step forward today and receive that free gift of salvation, that free gift where Jesus says, hey, I love you and I don't care what you've done. You say, but God, you don't know. And he says, yeah, I do, but I don't care because I paid for that and I love you. Just right now say, Jesus, I need you. Sorry, and I missed the mark, and I've lived a life that is not in accordance with what you've called me to do, but I'm going to say right now, today I want to live for you. Receive his call and his healing and his restoration. And watch the fear of rejection fall by the wayside. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Sing hallelujah.
just as you are, won't you come? You're never too far, you can come. Oh, who are we?
Amen, everyone. And so we have 3 more weeks of fear and knowing it and knowing it. All right. So have a great week. God bless. Enjoy this weather.